What we're going to do first is we'll open up a public hearing actually on both bills, House Bill 2987, House Bill 2649, for efficiency's sake. And we'll go ahead and do that. Then wait for Mark. Mark can come and give us an overview of the two bills that we have before us today.
Okay, thank you, Chair Hill. Representative Lowe, House Bill 2649 creates the offense of operating a motor vehicle while using a mobile telephone or portable computer when driving on a highway. Defines mobile telephone and portable computer, and it punishes this offense by a maximum fine of $300 for a Class B traffic violation, or if the commission of the offense results in bodily injury or property damage, by maximum fine of $600. House Bill 2987 is a preemptory bill which preempts local laws by city, county, or other local government regulating the use of cellular telephones. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. First up, let's invite Tom Schmidt from Fennel Creek Grange. You can come up and introduce House Bill 2649 to us. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Chair Hill and members of the committee, my name is Tom Schmidt, and I live at 3203 Northeast 27th Avenue in Portland. And I am here to support this legislation on behalf of Fennel Creek Grange, which is in Beaverton. I entered in as evidence a statistical report that was put together by the Oregon Department of Transportation for the 3 years beginning January 1st, 1996 through December 31st, 1999 on the amount of crashes that have happened here in the state of Oregon where cell phone use was a particular factor in the accident. Now, the information that is in the report that you should have in front of you is only that the police have put in their police report or the accident the driver has indicated in their report. So there could be many, many more accidents, but these are the only two information that we have that the police reported in their report or the individual driver. And I wanted to summarize for you in that three-year period, like I said, from 96 through 1999, there was a total amount of crashes in an automobile on public highways in Oregon of 185. And of those 185, there were four fatalities. Two of the fatalities happened in 1998 and two in 1999. There were also 148 people injured. And when we move into the surface that the accident occurred on, considering it being wet or dry or snowy or icy, it's interesting that 133 of the 185 total crashes reported occurred on a dry surface. The number of accidents on a wet surface were 51. And if you split that even further into the day or evening hours, 135 occurred during the day, 50 during a nighttime situation, and as far as off the road or within an intersection, 74 occurred at an intersection of a four-way intersection, and 44 were off the road. So I think these statistics are pretty strong to point out that there is a correlation between using a cell phone and driving and how it affects your vision and your concentration of what is happening in front of you, behind you, and around. The statistics for the current or for the past year 2000 are not available yet, but I think there's obviously a pattern that more and more people are driving and speaking on the phone, which attracts their attention from what they should be doing, and is definitely a factor in accidents. Back to the fatalities. One of the fatalities in 1999 occurred.
Thank you. Mr. Schmidt, may I ask you a question? And I'm wondering if you also have data on what kind of cell phones people are using. And by that, I mean, I do know that some of them have headphone devices and are hands-free. And I'm wondering whether or not those types of cell phones have a significant accident causation nexus.
Well, that's an excellent question, but unfortunately, the information from the ODOT did not break it down between hands-free, just cell phone usage. I think the hands-free is probably something that is just starting to be used by drivers.
Continue.
I just wanted to say also on the four fatalities, in 1999, one happened in Harney County, one in Multnomah, and then in 1998, we had one death in Clackamas and another in Multnomah County. So those are the four fatalities of the total of 185 crashes. I also represent, let me backtrack here. Just bringing in the insurance part of this equation, I think, as we all know, that when we are driving, any type of distraction, be it a radio, be it a child in the back seat, in the front seat, someone that you're talking with, people that are drinking coffee, these are all distractions for what we should be doing in the car, which is to be driving defensively and, again, following your traffic in front of you properly with the proper braking distances, and also watching for people in the rear, defensive driving, watching people coming towards you on a two-lane highway, et cetera. I travel a lot in my job. I travel all over the state, and it's amazing the amount of things that are going on in cars when people are driving. I have seen people brushing their teeth. I have seen women putting on makeup, putting on lipstick, combing their hairs. I've seen people reading the newspapers. You know, it's just amazing what people do. And now you bring in the cell phones, which, again, can really distract people if you're in a business conversation, or even if it's a personal conversation, for that matter. So I think there's a lot of reasons why the cell phones are a real safety issue for all of us.
May I ask another question? Thank you. Mr. Schmidt, I agree that we need to pay more attention when we're driving, and I probably have no business applying lipstick at stop signs or anything like that. But I'm interested in the statistics that you've provided, four deaths out of 185 cell phone-related crashes. Can you help me put it into context and tell me how many total automobile accidents there were over the same period of time that you are using? So I get some sort of a perspective about how grave a problem this might be.
Well, again, I'd have to say that I don't have the total number of crashes that occurred in this state during the last 3 years that I quoted here. This was only involving those that were, again, reported. So there could be many more than the 185. They just were not reported on either the police report or the statement from the driver. But to answer your question, no.
Are you familiar with, in terms of the question that's asked, in terms of cell phone use? Is it when they're tracking this data, is the cell phone contributing use, or someone just mentioned cell phone and the conversation? Obviously.
Well, I'll read to you what they sent us here from the ODOT. And you have the copy of that letter dated March 13th. It states, we code cell phone use only if there is a police report indicating the use of a cell phone or the driver using the cell phone states in his report that he or she was using a cell phone right prior to the accident. So that's a credible statistic.
Okay.
But there could be many more, as I said.
Okay, just so you know, the Department of Transportation has given us testimony, and their summary says, to date, there is no significant data indicating the problem relating to cell phone or portable computer use and its connection to crashes. However, the Oregon Department of Transportation recognizes the direct link between inattentive drivers and crashes. So their assessment is that there is not a significant problem, that they limit it more to inattentive drivers.
You know, I think whenever there's a fatality, that's a serious problem. You know, what that threshold is, I'm not privy to that.
May I ask another question, Mr. Schmidt?
Thank you.
Mr. Schmidt, why do you think it's necessary to have a statute making this a traffic infraction and adding an additional penalty onto this when the reality is if a crash occurs because a driver is inattentive and the police have noted a cause, and there it sits in the police report that the driver was driving poorly because of inattention, because of applying makeup or using a cell phone or reading a newspaper while driving or whatever the purpose is, I would say probably in 99.9 cases out of 100, that is going to end up in a lawsuit or a claim will be made against that driver's insurance, and that driver is going to end up having to pay a price much heftier than $300 or $600 fine, because their insurance rates are going to go up. They're liable personally for they can be liable personally if they have insufficient insurance, or there's all kinds of economic penalties and negative effects that would accrue to such an inattentive driver far beyond what you're proposing in this statute. So why are we going down this road, so to speak? Tell me.
I think it's just an added negative point for people to consider if they are going to drive and talk. I think you have to go to where it hits people, and it hits people in the pocketbook. Now, what you're talking about insurance payments and claims and so forth, that is not coming out of the driver's pocket. That's coming out of an insurance carrier. Ultimately, that does end up in premiums paid or cancellation and so forth. But
insurance being canceled and all kinds?
Like a speeding ticket. You have a speeding ticket, and you know, it's a $150, $200 ticket. That's something that has to come out immediately at either the scene of the infraction or through the court.
Are you aware of one possible criminal or one possible law enforcement consequence of such behavior in a car already exists, and that's negligent driving, reckless driving, reckless endangerment? I mean, I think that there are a lot of ways that this can be addressed and is being addressed in the law now, having an additional...
You just stated a few minutes ago that the State Patrol doesn't feel that this is a problem.
I did not mention that.
Yes.
I didn't say anything about...
You said that they don't feel that the cell phone use and driving is a problem at this point.
Sure. I was reading from the Department of Transportation in terms of the, that's the group that keeps the statistics.
Okay, so it's the Department of Transit, I'm sorry.
But having served in a district attorney's office, I know full well that these folks, such behavior would be rewarded with a citation into court, in addition to the rude awakening that the insurance company and the lawsuit would have for them. So as a tactical matter, though, if I were defending a case against somebody who was accused of this, I sure would be on my knees to the DA saying, oh, please don't, you know, make this reckless endangerment or this negligent driving go away. We'll plead to bad cell phone, and let me just pay this $300. So in a way, what you're proposing might make it easier on these drivers, you know, if a district attorney would want to go, you know, cut somebody a break rather than
and
charge them with a more serious crime.
On their motor vehicle record?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, driving is a privilege. It's not a right.
Oh, it certainly is. I couldn't agree with you more.
The insurance industry historically has, lost money year after year after year in automobile insurance.
Can I ask one other question? The bill that you have proposed is at the request of the Fano Creek Grange and not at the request of Tom Schmidt.
That's correct.
Why is that, and what is the connection of the Grange with this bill?
Well, are you familiar with the Oregon State Grange?
I am.
As a fraternal order?
Oh, no, actually not. Yeah. But I've driven past the Fano Grange.
Okay.
Fano Creek.
Well, Fano Creek Grange is one of about 250 granges around the state. The Oregon State Grange started in about 1885, so it has a very strong tradition of family values, cultural, agricultural issues. Fano Creek is a grange in Beaverton, and we are part of the larger grange organization statewide.
But what do they have to do with cell phones? Why are they interested in this particularly?
Because of the accidents that have occurred, the continual usage of cell phones, the distraction it causes for inattentive driving. We're all residents of the state. We see a lot of this usage going on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments?
No, I appreciate the time to appear here this afternoon.
Thank you for answering my questions. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. We can write up Ken Strobeck, Bruce Shaw, Laura Imason, and Brian Balashmet.
Thank you, Chairman Hill and Representative Lowe. Appreciate the opportunity to speak before you today. For the record, my name is Ken Strobeck. I'm here representing VoiceStream Wireless. And joining me at the witness table are other representatives from other wireless companies who will be following my testimony. We appreciate the opportunity to speak on these two bills, Mr. Chair. And first, I want to stress from the perspective of VoiceStream Wireless that the safe use of mobile telephones and our equipment is preeminent in the minds of the company. And we use as many opportunities as possible to educate our customers about the safe use of our telephones and their responsibility that they have when they're using our phones, especially while driving. Every VoiceStream customer receives written information about how to use the phone safely. And in addition, we provide an earbud, which is a hands-free device, free of charge for every new cell phone that is sold. Let me speak first, if I may, to House Bill 2987, because we believe that this bill is not necessary. We support this bill. It's the other bill that we are taking a position against. We believe that motorists have an interconnected system of roads and highways in the state of Oregon, and that the rules of the road, as far as the state is concerned, involves state action. And any kind, as Representative Lowe pointed out, any kind of distracted or inattentive driving is a matter of statewide concern. And is appropriate for statewide standards, especially not ones that change from one city or jurisdiction to another. For example, can you imagine a scenario in which the arrangement of traffic lights or stop signs or other highway markings was different from city to city? You certainly wouldn't want to have that kind of situation. Or if it was legal or illegal to put on makeup or drink coffee in one's car, depending on changes from city to city. So the behavior of drivers and the establishment of driving standards is clearly an area of state responsibility, and we believe that the enactment of House Bill 2987 will further clarify and underscore the state's role and responsibility in that area. Let me also just add that we do not believe that you, as state lawmakers, are taking any authority away from cities and counties, that in fact, as I mentioned before, that the regulation of the highways, the rules of the road, and behavior standards for drivers is a matter, always has been a matter, of state responsibility and state code. And we think that House Bill 2987 simply emphasizes that point and underscores it and makes it clear to other jurisdictions. If I could just very briefly say in response to the testimony you heard about House Bill 2649, that we believe that that particular additional offense is unnecessary. As the committee already pointed out, there are plenty of ways to control distracted drivers and inattentive driving, reckless driving, careless driving, without having to go through the process of understanding, well, were you also using a telephone or were you also playing the radio or whatever. So we would just urge you to take no action on that bill, but we urge your passage of House Bill 2987.
Thank you, Chair Hill. Representative Lowe, my name is Bruce Shaw. I represent Sprint. And regarding House Bill 2987, we do support that. We certainly echo the comments of Mr. Strobeck in terms of it would eliminate possible confusion as you transfer from city to city and so forth. And I would like to confine most of my remarks to 2649, which is we are opposed to. Basically, I pulled some national highway traffic statistics showing fatal accidents. Of the 41,611 fatal accidents in 1999, 54 were listed wireless phone use as a driver-related factor. That doesn't necessarily mean that it was the cause of the crash, but that it was a factor, and certainly not to minimize any of the pain that was felt by those 54 people and their families and friends. That's a very small percentage compared to 3,066 crashes, fatal crashes, that were caused by inattentiveness, a factor of about 60-fold for other factors of inattentive driving. Three states have got some data. Oklahoma, Minnesota, and Tennessee collect where phone use was a factor in injury crashes, so that, and they range from about 0.05% to about 0.16% in terms for those three states. So I would suggest to you that those three states line up pretty well with the national data in that regard.
May I ask a question about these statistics, please? In the cases, those 54 fatalities involving telephone use.
Yes.
Where you mentioned that they are a factor. In the reports, does that include phone use where the person who was killed did not cause the accident but happened to be on the phone too? Or does that only include cases where the person who caused the accident was using the telephone?
I don't know that answer for sure. I would think it would be somebody that caused the accident. Was there a driver-related factor to causing the accident? It wasn't the sole cause of the accident, but it was a factor related to the cause. So I don't know. It could go either way, I suppose.
I was thinking about the scenario where you're driving along talking on the phone and you're rear-ended, which is not your fault.
Right.
I can think any degree of attention or inattention might not have prevented that
right.
rear-end accident, or you're T-boned by somebody, but you happen to be on a cell phone. If the statistics are kept, if a state has a requirement that all cell phone usage involved, in any accident, they may be the plaintiff, they may be the defendant.
Right.
We don't know. So I'm wondering
if
data is available.
Let me see if I can clarify that for you and get back to you.
I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you. Because if we're going to rely on statistics, we may as well get them right.
Right. Rather than institute new laws, Sprint supports enforcement of existing reckless and careless driving statutes that are currently on the books. We believe that education of drivers is also critical. A 1997 study by the California Highway Patrol concluded that education is a key component in any effort that, to reduce the risk of traffic collisions resulting from cellular telephone use, and could prove to be more effective than sanctions. And certainly the wireless industry sponsors a number of radio spots that talks about making safety your first call. I hear them all the time when I'm on the road between here and Olympia. I think, finally, 2649 would prohibit calls to 911, and nationally over 118,000 calls every day are placed in 911 by cellular users, and these calls save lives. Personally, I've reported accidents, aggressive driving, unsafe driving, debris in the roadway. I'm sure you've probably done the same thing as you've traveled along. And finally, I just conclude that we do not support 2649, do not feel it's good policy, and should be defeated.
I did report a drunk driver about 6 months ago.
Just a few weeks ago, I was headed up the freeway, and somebody was had a load on a pickup, and it was...
Leaking and shifting is what that's called, leaking and shifting.
I see. Okay. I didn't want to be behind that person very much longer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Lowe. I'm Laura Imus. I'm from AT&T Wireless, and I'll be very brief. I just, on behalf of my company, would like to express our support for House Bill 2987 and our opposition to House Bill 2649. I won't repeat the remarks of my colleagues in the industry other than to say that we do have a careless and reckless driving statute in Oregon, which we believe is adequate to enforce careless and reckless driving, and that there is not a reason to single out cell phone users. As Bruce said, hundreds of thousands of calls are made every day to 911 on behalf of other citizens on the road as well, and we don't believe that it would be a good idea to take that tool out of drivers' hands. We do believe it's a matter of personal responsibility and a matter of education for both the carrier and the customer, and we have an extensive education campaign with our customers. But again, we would support looking at some sort of law that would delineate all distractions, but not just cell phone use in the car. Lastly, I would say the League of Oregon Cities has suggested they have a problem with the language in 2987, that it might be overly broad, and in concept, we are okay with narrowing it to an in automobiles amendment. Thank you.
For the record, Brian DeLeishman representing Nextel. I can see that Representative Lowe has a question on what Laura just said.
I just better forbear.
I think you're talking about line six, the use of cell phones in cars or in vehicles. Because their concern, obviously, is that the local statute or ordinance couldn't deal with cell phones. It could include sighting of towers and a whole variety of other issues, use of cell phones in meetings, and I'll let them speak for themselves. But that's what Laura was alluding to. Again, for the record, Brian DeLeishman representing Nextel Communications. I'll be extremely brief, too. Nextel has the same concerns about 2649 that you've heard expressed by the panel. Strongly supporting 2987. I'll keep my remarks to 2987. Nextel Communications is primarily a cell phone operation that caters to business clients. And in doing so, what we find is that our clients, both in-state, nationally, and internationally, travel a substantial amount of the time. We could not envision a situation in which jurisdiction by jurisdiction were allowed to pass ordinances and that would ban the use of cell phones and automobiles. And how would our business clients know each jurisdiction as they entered one and left another, whether in fact that jurisdiction did or did not have an ordinance? I could not envision even driving between Salem and Kaiser. And once you cross that border and one had an ordinance and the next one did not, how would a business traveler know that? So we strongly support 2987 and we oppose 2649. Thank you.
Do we have any states that have enacted this prohibition against cell phone use in vehicles?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, the 2649 version, is that what you're asking? There are no states that have enacted this. There are a few local ordinances throughout the country.
Yeah, Dave, I see Dave sitting back there shaking his head vigorously. Okay. I think if we could go down this road, perhaps we ought to enact something that labels those sound systems in cars that are so aggressive that they rattle the pavement as distractions, because that frightens me and makes me don't turn my head when I'm driving.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lynn Chastain.
Good afternoon, Chair Lowe. Chair Hill and Representative Lowe.
No, I like it better than the other.
Like that way?
Yeah.
My name is Glenn Chastain. I'm a sergeant with the Oregon State Police, assigned out of our Patrol Services Division here in Salem. And I'm here to give just some information on House Bill 2649, and if it were enacted at this time as written, it would prohibit the Oregon State Police and any other law enforcement agency from using equipment that we now use on our day-to-day basis to do our patrol services and our police work. The use of MDTs, mobile digital computers, and MCTs, mobile computer terminals, that are used in the vehicles to transport information back and forth between dispatch centers and the cars would not be able to be used. Also, mobile telephones are used on a regular basis in law enforcement. As an example, our patrol office is located in the Dalles. We have cell phones placed in each one of those vehicles because there are many spots in that area that are dead spots to the radio, and they rely on the cell phones for communication with dispatch centers and other officers. And secondly, the issue that has been brought up over and over again here is, are we talking about an issue of a distracted driver or merely conversation on a cell phone? I think that discussion needs to be talked about what are we really talking about here? In a day-to-day operation in patrol, we see many activities that are distracting the drivers. People eating, you've seen the hamburger in one hand, the Coke in the other hand, people trying to steer the car with their knee, the makeup issue that's been talked about, tending the children. I've seen people reading books, watching television, which we do have a statute on the books about. Newspapers, you name it, people do all kinds of things they shouldn't be doing when driving. In closing, I made a computer run just to see how many calls we receive as an Oregon State Police. You've heard about the national calls. But I did a run just to see how many calls we receive from cell phone callers to advise us that there's a possible drunk driver on the road. In 2000, we received 2,295 calls specifically for a DUI driver. That is not including any other calls for aggressive driving, reckless driving, or any other violations. So specifically on DUI drivers, there was 2,295 calls. And I'd really like to thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill, and I'd be happy to answer your questions.
I have a question. If you see somebody leaving around the road in terms of, do you hesitate to pull them over and cite someone for reckless driving or something if they've done something? And they were on a cell phone. Do you distinguish that in terms of in whatever the activity was that was causing it versus the result of their activity?
The citation would be based on the total accumulative action of that driving. Cell phone may be one component of it. Also, speed, unsafe, unlawful lane changes, other violations all together would constitute the reckless or careless driving. One in and of itself is probably not going to constitute careless or reckless driving.
In your work, have you seen cell phones as a significant issue?
I have not worked patrol since cell phones have really become popular, so personally I have not. Looking at the statistics that ODOT has provided to us, it does not appear, and you've talked about those statistics, it does not appear that cell phones are a major cause of crashes.
Okay, well, you should make sure to call me and get on.
And ODOT may be able to give you some better statistics than I'll have.
We're gonna ask that you got on control, you know.
Okay, that works, sir.
You can go back and report to us. Okay, any further questions?
No, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David Greenberg. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and member of the committee. For the record, my name is Dave Barenberg, and I'm representing Legal Oregon Cities, and I thought that I would do three things. First, talk about just the general preemption. Second, talk about the concerns that Ms. Imason and Mr. DeLashmet raised that we'd like to talk about. And third, just have some data to answer Representative Lowe's question from before. First, with the preemption, I haven't looked at my job description recently, but I think it has a provision in it that requires me to speak on any preemption. So I am doing that now, as you can tell. There are some reasons I think that make sense for allowing local control to exist in this area, primarily that cities are different and there can be conditions in cities that would potentially make cell phone use a greater danger in traffic conditions that might exist one place than another. My favorite, and this isn't an Oregon example, but we'll get to Mr. Chair and Representative Lowe, the data from around the country, but was one of the preemptions exists in New York City where they prohibit taxi cab drivers from using cell phones while driving, not the general public, but taxi drivers. And having ridden in a New York taxi cab without the use of a cell phone, I would think that that might be taking one's life in one's hand if someone were using a cell phone. And while I'm just on that point, there are two research we have done, I think 10 municipalities nationally that require use of hands-free cell phones and automobiles. Two that ban outright the use of cell phones when driving. One of those is Suffolk County, New York, which is fairly populous. And then several that have specialty ordinances like the one in New York City. In addition, I think 20 nations have banned use of cell phones or regulated use of cell phones while driving. On the issue of just the drafting of the bill, the concerns, and I appreciate Laura and Brian raising our concerns, is just that in the language in lines 4, 5, and 6, just to our attorneys reading it appears broad and potentially affecting things which we're told by our industry colleagues weren't what was intended, affecting cell tower siting. One of our public safety people said in the future there's a potential of prioritizing public safety cell phones in an emergency like an earthquake when the lines jam and types of things. And so we'd like to work with our industry colleagues to come up with some language to take care of that concern. I think with that, I'm happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
I don't see any problem in terms of working on the issues on the cell tower. That is not the intention of this.
Mr. Chair, can I add one other thing? Since everybody's told stories of driving in Oregon of what their worst experiences of a distracted driver, I would like to enter mine into the discussion, which was having somebody looking through binoculars at a hawk out the side of a window driving down I-5. I was driving with someone else, and we both sort of looked. Do you see anybody else in that car? And what? So, anyway, thank you, Mr.
Bird Watcher. Okay, that one I think wins the prize. Is there anyone else who would like to testify in either House Bill 2987 or House Bill 26429? Okay, and seeing none, that will do it. We will close the public hearing on those bills, and what we'll ask to is if David and industry could get together with Mark and let's request amendments to clarify the language on House Bill 2987. Okay. So there's no further business before the committee. Without objection, we're adjourned.